All right, well, happy June 26th. Well, are you wearing the same clothes you're wearing in June 26th? I tried to put the same shirt on that I was wearing in June 26th.
You look identical.
I do. A little more rested, maybe.
Huh.
It is Blair and Barker with Blue Jays Talk on the Sportsnet Radio Network, soon to be joined by our pals on the TV side. 416-413-3959 is the back leg line. Leave us a voice note. If we like it, we'll get it on TV. If we don't like it, well, that's your fault, not mine. 590-590 is the text line as well. The Blue Jays beating the Boston Red Sox 4-1 in the resumption of a game that was suspended on June 26th. You've already heard all the ha-ha, he-he stuff. Danny Jansen starting for both teams, et cetera, et cetera. Kevin, I am going to say this, though. The Blue Jays are now 64-68 this year.
Yeah.
That's the first time they've been within four games of 500 since June 15th. Now, Kevin Gausman was asked yesterday about whether or not he attached any importance to the 500 record. And
what did he say?
No, not at all.
He doesn't care?
He didn't care. No, not at all.
Yeah, I've talked to some people around that are around that team, especially that rotation. All they care about is having a playoff race.
Yes.
They're not in that. So
yeah, yeah,
I don't think they can care less.
Nonetheless, the Blue Jays, as we said, winning today 4-1. And we saw Vladdy again coming through with the big hit. George Springer gets a home run. Addison Barger adds a little insurance with a ground rule double for the Blue Jays. Yariel Rodriguez. Actually, let's go to John Schneider, the Blue Jays manager.
You're used to a bigger crowd here at Fenway, too. It was a little bit weird.
What did you think of the way your bullpen, your relievers, yeah, came into this one and really shut down what is a really good Red?
Yeah, they all did a really, really great job. Starting with Burr, Yarbs, obviously. We dodged a couple bullets there with an error at first and then the play down the line with Devers running. But they all were really good. Yarbs was efficient. You know, Zach did his job. Cabby was good. Swanee just one pitch. And Chad was really good. You know, kind of exactly what we had hoped for. And kind of did their part. Oh, yeah, I forgot. Yeah, he got us going with the scoreless inning in the first.
What has Yarbrough done differently than you thought he would have in faced him?
Yeah, I think this is going to sound funny, but his fastball's gotten a little better. He's made a few adjustments mechanically and arm angle stuff. So he's got a little bit more ride on his fastball and, you know, not throwing as many cutters. You know, we're used to kind of seeing that backdoor cutter to righties, but his changeup and his curveball are both playing really well.
I know that you talked about pregame, and now that you've seen it happen, just what are your thoughts on the whole Jansen thing?
I mean, me knowing Jano, I think it's cool for him to kind of go down in the record books as the first player to do that. Glad that he ended the game right there. You didn't want Cassis to come up as a tying run. But I think it's something, you know, I've known Jano forever, and something cool that he can always kind of say he was the first at. And he's good at weird stuff. So pretty cool for him.
How much did the runners and the fans play in the sixth inning kind of switch the tide?
Yeah. Yeah, that was a big play, obviously, and, you know, we kind of got caught, no one covering home there, so that kind of turned the game a little bit, gave us a little bit of a, you know, a little bit of a break, and then Zach came in and got the ground ball, and George hit the homer, so that was, you know, you get down in this building, and it's tough to kind of stop the momentum sometimes, and yeah, that was a big play.
Talking about what you were talking about this morning about George, he came up right after that play, hit the home run for you.
Yeah, man. I mean, it's been a weird year for George, you know, the first 70 games or so, and it's nice that he can bump up his early season stats with a homer today, but he's been so consistent in the clubhouse, and he's done such an amazing job to kind of keep these young kids under wraps and still really perform at a really good level. So, I mean, it goes without saying, you know, we need George to be George, and, you know, he's been that for a good while now and kind of just sets the table for us. I think we're good. You know, you got Hosey on an extra day, and you got multiple guys that can go multiple innings. So never know how a game's going to unfold. But, you know, when you get a chance to win the first one, you try to do that. and good guy to start on the mound for us. Depends on the guy. You know, I think it depends on the guy. It depends on a lot of things. It would be, you know, a lot goes into it. So I think today probably not. But, you know, there's certain guys that are pretty resilient. So we'll kind of check in with them and see how they feel.
John, do you have a lineup already?
No, not yet. We're going to get it out here in about half hour or so. Cool. Thanks, guys. Thank you.
There you go. That is Blue Jays manager John Schneider after the 4-1 win over the Boston Red Sox. Game two goes at around 7 o'clock tonight from Fenway Park. Jose Berríos starting for the Blue Jays, TBD for the Red Sox. Kevin, you know, I wanted to talk about this part of the schedule for the Blue Jays. I mentioned with this win today, they're four games below 500. They've had a run of games against not great teams, as we welcome our friends on the TV side on Sportsnet. You know, they had a run of games against Oakland, against the Angels. The Cubs are throwing in there as well. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they were 7-0 against the Angels. And you know, I think we all agree, or we can all agree, that they're playing a better variety of baseball now than perhaps we saw earlier in the year. Anything in your mind, though, Kevin, about facing teams now that are in a playoff hunt or sort of on the fringes of the playoff hunt? Like, they're going to face the Red Sox.
Mm-hmm.
They're still in it. They're going to face Atlanta, Philly.
The Twins, the Phillies, the Braves, the Mets, the Cardinals,
these
Texas
teams
Rangers
are all playing. Now, by the time the Cardinals and Texas series roll around, they may not.
They're an older veteran team. You're not going to give up. You're going to have to compete against them.
Right. But those two teams are, you know, again, my point is they're playing better teams now. Are you going to read more into what the young guys do in these games than into what we've seen so far? When I say young guys, I'm talking about Wagner, Loperfido.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. I think the home run ball is something, right? It's you're probably not going to get as many hanging breaking balls. You're not going to get changeups down the middle. I would think you're going to have to compete. You're going to have to battle. You're going to have to take a pitcher's pitch to allow a good pitcher. There's a reason why these teams are competing. It's because of that reason, right? It's because of their pitching's good. So, absolutely, look more into it.
George Springer had a home run in today's game. This is George Springer talking to the media.
On the same team that you're playing, you know, that was on at your team, it's, you know, there's no anthem, there's no kind of anything. So, it's you know, it's a completely different starter. So, it's a little weird game, but, you know, it's on to the next one.
Did you have the chance to talk to Danny before the game at all?
Not yet. You know, I think, you know, it's an early game time and, you know, he's getting ready to catch. So, we'll sure at some point I'll sneak some time in and talk to him.
Come up with the big hit in the top of the seventh inning. Second pitch of the at-bat. Were you sitting on something there specific?
No, you know, just trying to be aggressive in a good spot. You know, he had a incredible fastball today, and was riding at the top of the zone a lot, and you know, you have to honor it. So, you know, it was just looking to hit something hard, and you know, I was able to get something to hit.
One of those ones you know where it's going once it hits the bat.
Yeah, I knew it. Just kind of one of those things where I hit it and I move on. They've kept me young. You know, these guys like to have fun and they enjoy the game, but they prepare, they will work hard. You know, there's never a dull moment in there. You know, there's a lot of personality, and I think, you know, you're starting to see guys kind of relax a little bit. You're starting to see guys kind of get some experience which at the major league level is huge. And, you know, guys are starting to slow down, and, you know, just kind of be themselves. Well, one, I have to play hard. You know, I can't go, you know, I can't ask them to do it and then, you know, not do it myself. But I'm here to help. If they have any questions, if I faced somebody before, if I've been to a ballpark or whatever the case, you know, to do anything I can to help to help anybody. And, you know, I know, you know, there's some guys that haven't been here before, and obviously it's a very fun atmosphere to play in. You know, so guys get excited. You know, you have to hone some guys back in a little bit, but it's fun. You know, to do anything that I can to kind of make their day easier, I will.
That was George Springer, and Dan Shulman told an interesting story yesterday. By the way, the number to leave us a voice note is 416-413-3959. You can also text us at 590-590, name and location, please. Kevin, Dan Shulman told a story yesterday when the Jays made the deal with Houston to acquire Joey Loperfido and Will Wagner and Jake Bloss. Troy Snitker, who was one of the Astros coaches, called up George Springer and said, hey, Loperfido's a good dude. Take care of him. Mm-hmm. And George Springer went to the clubhouse attendant and asked them to rearrange the lockers so that Loperfido would be next to him. Wagner's in there as well.
Yeah.
And, you know, look, you're right. You mentioned this earlier. None of the starters signed up to be just kind of fill in time in September. The starting pitcher signed up to be in a contender.
Yeah.
I'm sure George Springer's would probably much rather be in a race. But look, you were a young guy. How much of that is eyewash, and how much of it really is important? Especially, you know, Joey Loperfido's been up, right? But I'm thinking of a guy like Will Wagner to a certain degree, or Leo Jimenez would be another guy.
Yeah, I don't think it hurts. Like, it's, you know, it's nice to show up to the park and have a veteran guy who's been around forever, who's had success and knows a routine and knows how to have success at the big league level to, you know, to throw things off of when you're going through some things. Like, Will's been going through it, and obviously we know how Loperfido got, you know, sort of started off his Blue Jay career. Like, it's good to have a guy that's in your corner that's, you know, going to sort of help you get through certain things. But, you know, again, George is a great dude. I just wonder what the role for George is going to be next year. If I get better, he ain't leading off next year. Like, that's great, all that things he's saying, and that's tremendous. And, you know, I think that's why the Blue Jays were ultimately going to give him the money that they were going to give him. But, boy, it's go time next year. He's hitting .175 in August. Like, you know, you need more. Like, and again, if they're planning on going out and doing some things and getting two serious dudes to go with Bo and Vladdy, if Bo is here, that'd be the thing. But, yeah, absolutely, it's nice to have. And it just seems like all the veteran guys, for the most part, are open to having conversations with young guys. Most of them older dudes have been paid. It's a lot easier to have that conversation and, you know, give them rides to the park and let them come hanging out at your suite pad and give them, you know, the suite that you get on the road when you've been paid. If you hadn't been paid, it's not that way. But they have, and it's cool to have that. And, you know, they understand where they're at and what kind of years they're having, and it's just going to make them better going forward. So good for them.
416-413-3959, the back leg line. Leave us a voice note. 590-590 is our text line. The Blue Jays beating the Boston Red Sox 4-1 in the resumption of a game that was suspended in the second inning on June 26th. And as I mentioned, the last time the Jays were within four games of .500 was 11 days before then, on June 15th, when they were at 35.
It is amazing how good 39. This team can look when you're hitting a homer, your best hitter is your best hitter, and your pen looks good. Like you've been saying forever, boy, it is amazing how many games you can win that way and how much fun it is to watch them.
Well, I mean, it is.
It really is. Hand the ball, the dude gets the outs. You hand the ball, the next guy, he gets outs. And, dude, it's a homer, and your best guy comes up when it matters the most and gets two RBIs. Like, that's about as good as it gets. Makes a manager look like a genius, don't it?
Makes the general manager look like a genius,
how
too.
How about it?
Go to the...
I just thought I'd throw that in there, Jeff.
But the general manager looks like a genius, too. That's a genius trait.
You
now.
Said that, not me.
Let's go to the text board. 590-590 is the text line. Brian in Chatham. This could be Chatham, Ontario. It could be Chatham, New Brunswick. If Bichette is not back with the team in spring training, is Jimenez your starting shortstop? Brian in Chatham, Ontario. Yeah, I love
I do too.
He's fun to watch, but
better be Willie Adames.
Well, if it isn't Bo, if Bo's not back.
Absolutely. Look, I paid Bo another year. If I'm the organization, I paid him. You got to have man-to-man conversation. You got to bring some dudes in here. Bo wants to win. That's the goal here is to win. And the first four guys in that lineup matter. And you got to bring in two dudes to support that. You do that, you can sell it to Bo. You'll get the best out of Bo. So you do your job, I think he'll do his.
Yeah, I mean, I think before – before we decide who will be the starting shortstop next year, you know, this team has to get a couple of thumpers in here, and whatever it takes to get that done, if
you can't take them serious until they do, Jeff.
No, but I mean, if as part of that deal, they decide to move on from Bo, if Bo helps them somehow in a trade get something they need, then maybe Leo Jimenez could factor in. But I mean, the lineup. Here's the thing. If that's the case, the lineup has to be so good that he's hitting ninth for me.
There you go.
Right?
Defensively, he's fine, but it can't be.
No.
He's the move you're making, and you're trading Bo just because Bo's sad. And
no.
Don't like the organization anymore. That's not the way it's going to be.
No. But I do think that they will. Look, they've got a lot of heavy lifting to do.
They've got
to get ready for the next window, right? They've got to create the next window, and I think it's entirely possible that Bo does get traded. But having said that,
how can they run it back without Bo? That's the question you got to ask yourself.
Well, I'll ask you this very easily. If you can trade Bo and get somebody who is going to hit in the middle of your order, be a bit younger, and you can get another pitcher in here, why wouldn't you make the deal?
Well, how would you do that? He's been injured, and since August of last year, he's been poop.
You know what?
It takes one to tango.
Your opinion doesn't matter. I'm sure other teams look at him as a guy who's led the American League in hits for 2 years.
And if they make him happy, maybe you'll get the best out of both. Maybe. But right now, I think that'd be a tougher sale because of the heavy lifting you have to do. That would be something you'd do at the trade deadline next year if it goes south.
You know what? You can't bring both Bo and Vladdy back next year and not have them signed. If you have Vladdy signed to a long-term contract, you can bring Bo back. You can't bring them both back
reading too much into that.
You can't. Well, what are you going to do?
You've already signed Bo. Bo's got another year left.
Yeah. Exactly.
Vladdy doesn't.
Yeah, so you're going to spend all year
Vladdy's performing. Bo's not.
But Vladdy does have a year left.
That's what I'm saying. You're saying
a year left. I said if you sign Vladdy to a long-term contract, then you can bring Bo back to run it back. But if you're going to go, not getting Vladdy on a long-term contract, do you want to lose both those guys next year?
And don't forget, too, it almost looks like Vladdy's doing the organization a solid by starting to play third again. No? That's sure the way it looks.
He's doing
and we had
solid.
John on Friday, and it sure sounds like that Vladdy's going to get a bunch of run at third, which would mean that, like that Pete Alonso guy for the Mets.
Does it matter?
Who plays first?
Does it matter if they don't sign him?
Well, I mean, it would help. Everybody'd be happier. When you pay your best player, everybody else just seems to be happier around.
That's what I'm saying. If they don't sign him, does it matter whether or not he's playing third base right now?
Think it'd go hand in hand with the player and the agent. The agent,
this is about a front office that doesn't want to sign him.
That's what it seems. Sure seems like.
I mean,
but why
is
the player doing the organization solid by playing third all of a sudden?
Because I think he's a decent dude. You want my honest opinion? I think he realizes he's going to make money. Either way, and I think he also realizes that if he can play third base, he might make more money than he can at first base. But this gets back to, the whole idea that the sides have to meet. No, that's past. It's up to the front office to sign Vladdy. At this point, they have to make the move. Vladdy's done everything he can. He doesn't need to make any more move. At this point, it's up to it's up to Mark to make the move. And if Mark doesn't make the move.
16 doubles, 32 RBIs in 35 games since the break. He's done his job.
Let's go to, I don't want to talk. We've got Jim in Hamilton. All we're going to do is spend all day talking about trading Bo. Go ahead, Jim.
Gentlemen, good day. Jim from Hamilton.
Hi, Jim.
I find it interesting that Springer has performed a lot better since Bo has been not just injured, but not in the clubhouse down in Florida.
He's hitting
and
175
George,
in August.
He wants
you know
to be
that.
Young at heart. Vladdy's young at heart. Bo is such a serious gentleman. How indicative do you think it is for Bo as a player and the Blue Jays as a team for him to be traded in the offseason, for this team to go forward, for Bo to go forward, because I think if Bo is on this team next year, it's going to be a weight that this organization doesn't need.
I mean, I'm going to say this. George Springer's hitting 175 in August. I don't know where this idea is that he's having this miraculous resurgence.
Making sure I'm looking at that, right?
Yeah, maybe you better, in which case I will.
August, that is 21 games. He's hitting .175 and slugging .363. Yeah. It's not like he's ripping the cover off the ball. Does he look happier? Absolutely. Again, I get back to this. When the expectations are lesser than what they were the first 2 months of the season, you tend to do this. In the dugout. Like, that's just, I mean, it's life. It's more fun to watch. I've said this for a bazillion years, and this is why me and Jeff come on this show for the last 2 years and said, who's hitting cleanup? Like, if you got a cleanup hitter who's doing some thumping, everything else he sends tends to fall in place. I don't get the all of a sudden the hatred for Bo, and you got to trade him for everybody else to be happy. I hate to run this back around to me. I've been in a bazillion clubhouses. Dudes don't care about whatever other people are feeling. They don't. It's a very individual clubhouse. They take care of their individual self.
Yeah, I don't think Bo is. Bo's having
Springer
an impact.
Springer don't stand around and go, man, did you see how I'm sad now? Because Bo's sad. Like, they could care less. I mean, I hate to say it that way. That's as real as it gets. Now, would it help if Bo shows up and starts raking? Yeah, raking makes you happy. It's like that defensive side of the ball, right? Yeah, it's amazing how good they play defense when they're raking. That's all you want, right? You want Bo to show up and rake. He shows up and rake. Everybody else, including Jim, is going to be happy.
4-1, the Blue Jays have beaten the Boston Red Sox. Yeah, we got a lot of hatred for Bo.
Well, Bo don't like Bo's
been
anymore.
Gone. You know what? Hey, this is understandable. Bo's been gone. The team's having fun. 2 + 2 = 4. Bo gone. Team having fun. Bo needs to go. I mean, that's just the way it is. And Bo has been around the clubhouse a fair amount, by the way. So, but yeah, no, I you know, with all due respect, Jim, I love you, but
yeah.
George Springer's not having.
I think there's some correlation too to the big boys raking. I mean, what is that? He's got Vladdy in 35 games. What's he got? He's got 16 doubles now, 32 RBIs and 13 homers since the break. That's 35 games. He's hitting well over 400. He's had 22 home runs since June 1st. He had 5 home runs going into June 1st.
Let's go back to the text line. 590 is the text line. Jay in London.
Hey, Jay.
With winds piling up. Hang on. Let me just check here.
Well, there's a lot with the
with
Angels.
Winds piling up, will the Jays not make a change to management, i.e. Ross
Jeff,
Atkins in the offseason?
You're up. I'm in the camp. I have no idea. And I'm also in the camp. Now, I don't care. They know now going into the offseason exactly what they need. There is no guessing, believing in Kirk or Varsho. You know what Varsho is. You know what Kirk is. You know that the lineup needs 2 thumpers, 2 and 4. 1 and 4. Oh, however you want to place them in the top 4 spots, you know it now. Like, who cares if Ross is here? Like, I don't. I like it's now for me also, Jeff, I think it's sort of flipped to Mark.
Oh,
the president. I really do think it's now flipped to that side.
I mean, the big thing to get done now, we talked about this, is true. The big thing to get done now is Vladdy's contract. Either he's going to sign or he's not going to sign.
Yeah.
And with all due respect to Ross, that's way above his pay grade.
Yeah, sure seems
so,
to.
Yeah. You know, listen, the last time Mark spoke publicly, I came away thinking that he viewed Ross at least at this moment as very much
a part of it,
yeah. And being the person who is going to provide answers to the questions as to what went wrong.
Yeah.
That doesn't sound to me like a guy I'm willing to get rid of. So I don't think I don't know if anything's changed. You know, I really don't. What I find interesting, and I've mentioned this a lot, Kevin, is, you know, the spotlight on John Schneider has gone away a little bit.
Should.
I think it started when the Blue Jays didn't do anything to address their bullpen issues earlier this year. Smart fans are smart enough to look at the bullpen and go, you don't have a closer.
You ain't got a bunch.
You ain't got, like, there's a lot you don't have that's working here.
Yeah.
And that's not on the manager.
Nope.
That's not on the manager to go out and create a starting pitcher or find a starting pitcher. So I think that's what happened. But Mark Shapiro's got another year left in his contract. I think that has an impact on what happens here.
It's very intriguing, all of that, how they're going to piece it together, right? It's like, how all in is the front office when their deals are about up? I think that's, for me anyway, the big question, right? And I think it'll be told right away with, you know, you're looking at the big three, Jeff. Those three big dudes that are top 20 in total bases. Santander, Teoscar, and Pete Alonso. For me, they got to get one of the three. And then they got to go out and get somebody else who can add to the top four in the lineup.
It can't be
Varsho and Horowitz in the top four. Just cannot be that way if Jays fan want to take them serious. So right away you'll know, because there's going to be a lot of interest in all three of them guys.
John in Keswick called up and left us a voicemail. Love Keswick, by the way.
Gotta say, I'm loving watching these young Blue Jays out there doing the thing at the end of the year. I just hope that upper management doesn't think that this is a free pass for both Ross Atkins and Mark Shapiro. I still think there needs to be a change with all the good we're seeing here in late August and hopefully carrying into September. Thanks, guys.
I mean, I look at this. These young guys that the Jays have right now, in a perfect world to me, or for me, in a perfect world, of all the young guys they have, Joey Loperfido is on my team as a fourth outfielder. Maybe part of a platoon if I have to make that work. Spencer Horwitz is my second baseman. Other than that,
Ernie Clement, sir.
And I don't consider Ernie Clement to be a young guy necessarily.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
Okay, but we'll throw him. Yeah, Ernie Clement is there. I love Ernie Clement. Uh-huh. If Ernie Clement's starting at third base and hitting eighth or ninth for me, I'm kind of okay with it. But bottom line is I've got to have a better lineup next year. And whoever has to lose a job, or whoever doesn't win a job, for me to have a better lineup next year, I'm going to make it work. The two guys I've seen so far, other than Ernie Clement, that absolutely I want in this team next year are Loperfido and Horowitz, because I keep saying this. My extra outfielder's got to be a lefty. And he's got to I got to be able to put him in a game and not have to worry about pinch running for him, not have to worry about him not making plays for me. And look, if Joey Loperfido finishes strongly and comes into camp and is really good and wins the job, I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that, because that means the team is going to be better.
As long as he's sitting at the bottom of the order, like, you're okay with that. I think you can close your eyes and see that when you put athletic left-handed hitters in your lineup, how hard it is for a good right-handed pitcher to work both sides of the plate and have to throw slider, curveball, elevated fastball down and away. Like, you can see now, all of a sudden you got to work quadrants instead of just being a one-sided plate guy. Mm-hmm. If you're a right-handed pitcher, what that can do. So yeah, it adds length to your lineup only if you're dropping them from 6 to 9, not sprinkling them in 1 through 4. You do that, it's
It is Blue Jays Talk with Jeff Blair and Kevin Barker on the Sportsnet Radio Network. And on Sportsnet, 416-413-3959. Call us up. Leave us a voicemail.
Yep.
590-590 is the text line. 7 o'clock will be the first pitch.
A lot of hatred for Bo. Huh?
What?
A lot of hatred for Bo. Is hatred the right word?
No, it's just, you know what? It's team's winning. Bo's not here. Therefore, our team's better without Bo.
Yeah, it's almost like he's the fun police. It's a little of that, right?
Well,
like,
you know, here's the thing.
That's what it is.
People are also going to point out that the home run jacket's back. They're running down the runway. I mean, all this stuff is back.
They're fun.
They are having fun. And
a couple of people you saw at the field, right?
Well,
look how much fun they are.
Exactly. And I was there last
night. That's fun. Look.
I was there yesterday as well. The fans are having fun. Yeah. They like the young
homers
dudes.
Homers are awesome. They are.
No, but they're especially
they are
good.
Awesome.
They're especially good when it's a young dude with long hair.
And you're winning a little. That helps too, right?
Yeah.
And your big boy at first is doing his thing, and then everybody else is sort of hitting the boy.
Yeah.
How cool would that look if they just added to him? Yeah. Put something around him. Everybody we've ever had on says the same thing. Add a couple of dudes around him.
Paul from Seeley's Bay, Ontario.
Awesome. Hey, Paul.
that unique game today. I'm curious if you could comment on the at-bats that involved Jansen. So when he goes up to bat against these pitchers, he's called them many, many times. And you would think he'd be in a better position than most to get a hit. Mm-hmm. And yet the hit that he did get was not off of a pitcher that he'd seen before. It was Yarbrough. Seems odd. I would have thought, in general, Danny would have a better approach at the plate against pitchers he knows so well. And similarly, would Danny be better at calling a game against his former team? Thanks very much.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, he's seen Ryan Yarbrough a bunch, probably in his nightmares.
You remember, too, he's left-handed, right? That ball's going to come probably a little into him. And even John says he's throwing less cutter. So the cutter going away.
The other stuff, Danny's Danny. I mean, you can flip it in your head and say the pitchers know his weaknesses as well as they hit.
It's down and away. Like, you're trying to pull everything where he stands at the plate. That's his little kryptonite, is down and away. How do you pull that? Right, the timing of catching that thing out in front and pulling that is not the easiest thing to do. And the Khakis have seen that. Now they're attacking it. And you see the results. You know, right now, he's not a hard out. And that's the problem, right, is when you're now all of a sudden trying to get paid with a new team who's competing to try and make the playoffs, and also you're trying to get a pitching staff through certain games to try and win, it's not the easiest thing to do. So we love Danny. Hopefully Danny does his thing. But Danny right now is not a tough out. You know, I've had conversations about how you get Danny out, and it's all starting with down and away is a pretty good way to start. So that's sort of what you're seeing, especially if it's a right-handed pitcher. Now, the hit that he got was from a lefty, and you know, it's that ball that, again, they open up the front side, trying to get the barrel started sooner so you can, I don't want to say cheat, but you want to, you know, get extended a little quicker, catch it out front. And
Kevin, I want to ask you this. Addison Barger had the ground rule double to bring in the final run. I mean, he had a walk-off hit on Friday, hit a really good game yesterday. You know, we talk about the young left-handed hitters in this team and who may fit in next year.
Yeah.
What do you make of Addison Barger? Because
that's a $1 million question. I'm not sure they know.
I don't either. Now, in addition to hitting those home runs, we also know he's got a pretty good arm. I'm just gonna say this. Now, I'm not gonna start trading guys willy nilly here, but if Addison Barger is the type of guy that another team may take a look at and go, you know, especially a team that maybe doesn't need a guy to come up right away.
Yeah.
They may take a look at that power.
Let me ask you a question. Would you rather have Barger or Snyder on your team next year? You'd rather have Barger. Would you rather have Barger or Wagner on your team? You'd rather have Barger.
Huh?
Barger's left-handed. He's very athletic. He's got power. Will Wagner's got no power.
Hold it.
What am I doing with Will Wagner?
Hold it.
Where am I going to play him?
Where am I going to play Barger?
I'm asking you where. The athleticism and the power that he has is you can't teach either one of those. I can teach him how to start like they have, look changeup, which I don't believe. I think he's looking location, but whatever floats his boat, whatever he wants to say out loud, more power to you. Ken Griffey Jr. is the only dude I know that can go up look changeup. That's the hardest pitch in baseball to actually sit on. And you're doing it against the dude who throws it all the time. But anyway, the deal is that he can actually get one and have it go where he wants it to go. Will Wagner do that? This Davis Snyder do that. That's the thing you got to be careful with. You know, we've been yelling and screaming about left-handed hitters with power and are athletic and can play multiple positions.
Again,
dude's got a cannon, can play third and right.
Again, though.
Third and right.
Yeah, again, though.
I'm just telling you. I'll get excited about trading people.
No, all I'm saying is he's the type of guy that might be intriguing. If Vladdy's at third next year, that gets rid of a position for Barger. If they bring hitters in, I mean, they're one of them will probably be an outfielder. I'm just saying, I don't think he has a spot in this team. Spencer Horwitz is, again, I've said he's my everyday second baseman.
Yeah. Springer's going to be a year older. Is Springer going to be able to play 125 games?
He's done it 2 years in a row.
He'd be a year older. Like, it's performance-driven, especially beginning of next year. Hitting a .175 in April next year ain't going to fly.
I mean,
that's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
Like, you got to be careful about trading athleticism.
Yeah, but I'm also just saying that you're – you know, let's be clear. You're going to, some of these guys are going to be moved, you know, and the Jays have been, I mean, Ross Atkins basically said that after the trade deadline. One of the things you're doing is you're trying to acquire pieces to help you in the offseason as well. And all I said was Addison Barger's the type of guy that other teams may be interested in. That's all.
I'm with you, but he's got power and he's left-handed. And he can play third and right. That's all I'm saying. I mean, you can tell he's not afraid to make adjustments either. And it ain't tweaks, right? I'm going to make it. I'm going to live with it for a while. It ain't like every pitch I'm going to change things. Like Davis Schneider. I'm not picking on Davis because hitting a baseball. I will say the difference between Davis and Addison is one's left-handed, one's right-handed. You see more right-handed pitchers than you do left-handed pitchers. That's all I'm saying. And right now, Davis Schneider's not doing enough of hammering of left-handed pitching to keep him on your roster. That's all I'm saying.
Let's go to Dev in Vancouver.
This is Dev from Vancouver. Hey, Dev. I want to know, what are the chances of the Jays actually making the wild card if they win majority of their games the rest of the season?
Making a wild card?
They're not an NFL.
Right now, according to Fangraphs playoff odds, they are 0.1% to make the playoffs. I think that's a little optimistic.
Yeah, they got 21 games left. Say they would have to go against the Red Sox, the Twins, the Phillies, the Braves, the Mets. Forget about the six against the Cardinals and the Rangers, right? So you're figuring you take away 21 from six. What is that, 15? Okay, the next 15 games. Can they go 12-3 against the Red Sox, the Twins, the Phillies, the Braves? If the answer to that is yes, you realistically look yourself in the mirror and go, this team for the Blue Jays can go 12-3 against the Red Sox, the Twins, the Phillies, and the Braves, and the Mets.
0.01%, according
to FanGraphs. I'm with you. That's a bit high.
Yeah.
But miracles happen.
No. It is the hope that kills you, though.
I'm with you. I'm with you.
It's the hope that kills you.
It is amazing what homers and fun will make you think if you close your eyes and look at your
Hab,
Jeff. Woo, boy. Isn't it? It's amazing.
Timothy in Vancouver.
Yeah, Kevin, I'd like to ask both you and Jeff. We're almost the end of August here. I just want to know, in all of baseball this year, what has been your what team has been your biggest surprise and what team has been your biggest disappointment? Ooh. And Jeff as well, if he can weigh in. Thanks.
That's a good one.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I would think I think you can throw the Guardians in there. I think you could throw the Brewers in there.
Surprise.
Yeah, the biggest, like, wow, the Brewers got like a 10-game lead in the Central. That's a big deal. I think the Guardians with the you know, sort of hitting more home runs, the new manager that they got, I think that's one. The biggest surprise, I think, is the Braves.
Just hang on. What's the biggest positive surprise?
The two teams I just mentioned. Okay, I think the Brewers and the Guardians.
Biggest disappointment?
Let me ask you a question. What the Blue Jays are doing right now is predictable. If I would have said August, they are going to be 9.5 out the first day of spring training when I talked to you, would you said, Kevin, you are crazy?
No.
So you didn't think this would happen?
No, I'm saying
you wouldn't be shocked if this is what happening. So I can't throw the Blue Jays. That's
completely.
My question.
Not completely. I mean, considering the fact that I thought they were, I think I said I thought they were going to go to the playoffs.
Well, there's reasons why we say that.
But, yeah. Damn it, you let him in on a secret. You're not supposed to let him in behind the... curtain. Now you just spoiled our phony baloney jobs. People are going to think that we're serious
hackies. The American League, I think you got to throw the Royals in there for a big surprise. I think they're a cool story. The Guardians, I think you got to throw in there. Those are two really good ones. I think the Yankees and the Orioles.
Not
I think
every
there's
team
no surprise.
Pick one.
No, there's not one.
Pick a surprise.
I think the biggest surprise is the Royals.
Okay. I think the biggest surprise is the Brewers, just because they've traded away everything you're not supposed to trade away.
If I would have told you that the Brewers on August, the end of August, were winning their division, you would have said not a chance.
Oh,
because they got rid of the manager who walks on water.
No.
That's why.
No. If you had,
how's he doing?
No. If you had said to me. Yeah. If you had said to me that on August 26th, the Brewers would have a double-digit lead in their division, doesn't matter.
Stinks.
I would not have believed that.
That division stinks.
To me, the biggest disappointment?
I want to say the Braves.
Probably Texas. Probably Texas for
that's,
me.
The Texas thing's predictable. Like, that's why repeating is so hard.
Yeah, but the difference is Texas had, you know, they had Evan Carter. They had these young guys coming in.
Sophomore slumps, right?
Texas would have been my biggest, would be my disappointment. I mean, I'm looking at the National League. Nothing anybody is, you know, are the Dodgers a disappointment?
Are the Cubs a disappointment?
No. I thought the Dodgers would be a little farther ahead, but that is what it is. Maybe the Braves, 10 games over, 500, six out. But no, to me, it's the Brewers. I just, if you had told me the Brewers would be in first place at this time, I would have thought, sure, there'll be a game up and there'll be like nine teams. You know, all the teams in the Central will be four back. But to have the lead that they have, given what they've gone through, no, I think that's the biggest surprise. Yeah, the Blue Jays season's a disappointment because I think in the very least we thought this was a playoff team. And
yeah, I've been saying for a while, I think
it's the last place team in the East.
They don't have a clean hitter. They don't have enough homers. I've been saying that forever.
We did say, though, if I'm not mistaken, I'm going to give us a little credit here. We did say that there was a way in this division where there were three teams that could either make the playoffs or finish out of the playoffs. We had Tampa, Boston, and Toronto as those teams.
You also have said, boy, it's a bad year to stink because there ain't going to be a 100-win team. If ever there was a year for you to leak in, it's this year.
Yeah, that's why I think, you know, the more I think about Mark Shapiro's media availability, when he was asked about what went wrong, the first thing he said was the bullpen. And this is impossible to know. I wonder where this team would be right now. Mm-hmm. They're 9 out of the wild card. I get that's a lot. But where this team would be had they been more aggressive in addressing their bullpen.
They were 3 or 4 out when you started throwing your hands in the air going, where's the front office at helping the bullpen? Like, they were 3 or 4 out, I think. That was like a month and a half ago when you were throwing your hands in the air going, I can't believe they continue to run this out here. What are they doing? Why aren't they going out? And other teams are doing it. That's exactly what you said.
Yeah, they were.
And they didn't.
Look at the Yankees.
And they did nothing.
I mean, the Yankees are picking up the Jays' discards.
Yeah.
416-413-3959.
Be nice with Mesa. I like Mesa.
I don't mind him either. I wish him all the best. 416-413-3959.
If I were Pop, I'd call Mason and ask him to stay on top of the sinker.
Zach Pop got the win today. Zach Pop got the win today. The official scorer's decision.
I told you wins don't matter, Jeff.
No, they don't. Hey.
You're such a liar.
Ryan Yarbrough's got to be back next year.
Does he really?
We've been sitting with a certain catcher who said he's getting
on another show that just ended before we started. That said, he gets a 2-year deal. And I ain't going to tell you what the number was.
He might.
And we almost threw him out of the room.
Well, you almost threw him out of the room. I was busy having a sandwich. I wasn't throwing anybody out of the room. I arrived late to the discussion.
Would he be your long guy? Absolutely.
Oh, absolutely.
And he's not going to cost what that guy said he's going to cost. But
all that aside, yeah. Absolutely.
The nice little piece. He's a veteran guy. He's not going to get overwhelmed because of the American League East. Absolutely. And he can frustrate the you-know-what out of hitters.
He's not going to blow his arm out.
Look what he did today.
Yeah, he's not going to blow his arm out.
And he can make little tweaks. The cutter ain't working. Okay, I got all this other stuff I can throw, and I got it from a little weird arm angle that nobody in baseball does it from. Like,
he's got to be
perfect.
He's got to be the
– makes too much sense.
He's got to be the type of guy. Dudes go back to the dugout after they've had an at-bat with him. And
you're
just
driving home going, really, man?
How the hell did I go over three against that guy?
He carved me up.
Hey, good news. It's raining in Boston. The tarp is on the field. Stay hot, 2024. Let's go back to the text line. Marcus from Woodstock. What should the Jays do about next year's outfield? Who should they sign and bring up, and who should be the fourth outfielder?
Yeah, I don't care. This is what I care about.
Go ahead.
Where's that at? I got it. You know, I got a whole board full of that. I don't care. Get a Anthony Santander, Teoscar Hernandez, or a Pete Alonso. Get one of the three, and then you could mix in a Brandon Lau if they don't bring back the club option, a Rhys Hoskins if you want to do that, Tyler O'Neill if you want to do that. I haven't even thrown Juan Soto in there. You know, I know that guy that went on the MLB Network is saying that they're fifth in line for Juan Soto. What's that saying, Jeff? You're not first, you're last.
It's that
with Juan Soto. So, yeah, look, I've said this and I'll continue to say it.
get one of the three in here. Who cares where they play? And but you have to have two of them. So if it's one of the three that have 20 total bases in the top 20 in total bases, it's one of them three, and then somebody else who knows how to, say, mash a lefty or hit a three-run homer once a week. Then you're cooking with gravy, and who cares where they play? Once you get them in here, you figure it out. Just throw them out there somewhere. Like, I think the rotation's at the point now, at least the people that I've talked to, that they don't care who's out there. They just care about giving them the lead and letting them figure it out. There's enough veteran guys in that rotation now that they will flip it with the other hand to get somebody out. They just want to be in the race. So
yeah, I think the whole,
I'm in the camp. I don't care where they play.
I think the run prevention thing got old real fast for Bassett and Gausman. They've been basically run prevention into last place in the American League.
Bullpen, and it's like,
yeah. I mean, there's,
ever since that Manoah thing happened and they went to a four-man rotation and had to wear it for a little while.
Yeah.
You noticed? Yeah. I get a little bit more talky, too. You know?
Yeah, I think they're a little less inclined to say, okay.
Yeah, we'll take that for the team. No, we won't. Get us a couple thumpers in here, and then we'll do what you want us to do.
Mike and Tilsonburg.
Do you think in the long run, if we look back at this year and what it could have been, would getting Ohtani, would it have made a difference?
Absolutely.
To the team and where we are today?
Are you kidding me? It's going to be a 50-50, dude. You don't think he'd have hit 50 homers here and stole 50 bases in this place? He might have 60 homers already.
Well, it depends. It depends. Now, they may have wanted to change his swing a little bit.
The question is, how would Bo have looked? Would Bo be healthier?
Yep.
Would Bo still be hitting? And how would Vladdy look? Vladdy in front or behind him?
Yeah.
Holy.
Yeah, I think Ohtani might have made a difference. That's just me.
I don't know.
That's just me.
I don't even know how to react to that. Nah, we're good.
Yeah.
Leave him in L.A.
Of course, then they would have. I mean, he would have taken the bats away from Spencer and Davis Schneider, so I don't know how the hell we'd manage that.
Yeah, we wouldn't be having fun because we wouldn't have seen these guys. No, they'd have been winning. And
they'd be winning. They wouldn't be running up and down.
No way they're plethora of dudes that they traded. No way. They're still here.
They wouldn't be running up and down the dugout like
none
that.
None of that.
They'd be too busy
fighting for a wild card spot. Was that real?
Shohei Ohtani would have made a lot of things better, I think.
You see him hit, Jeff? It is amazing. You know, you're talking about stride separating. The leverage you got to be in, the strength of you're talking about chest hair.
And you know,
just grown man doing things.
What is really scary.
See his manager every time he hits a homer too. He's like, whoa.
What is really scary is reading all the reports on his pitching.
It's coming.
And how that's coming
and
along.
Showing the video of him throwing bullpens. He's a freak, dude. It's like, I don't know what the limit is. Like, when does it end? That's the thing, right? It just looks like it's so easy for him. Oh, you want me to hit 50 homers and steal 50 bases?
I'll tell you what. I think I really wonder, was it Joe Madden that threw out the idea about having him close and hit?
See, I don't like that. I think that's a heart rate thing. I don't know how he'd handle that.
Come on. You saw him in the World Baseball Classic.
But how long could he do that an entire season?
Yes.
Heart rate go up, do it in the playoffs?
Yes.
Good luck.
I mean, why?
What
suggests to you he can't?
I'd rather see him try and hit 60 and steal 60.
Oh, he's going
to
do that anyhow.
Instead of trying to close.
He's going to do that anyhow.
Well, 66 is going to be strong. 50-50 is good, though.
He's going to do that anyhow.
You imagine seeing that up close every day?
Is he better hitter than Aaron Judge? 4164. I just did that because I know that gets you going. 416-413-3959 is the back leg line.
Today, if you were starting a team, who are you taking?
Today? Oh, I'm Ohtani. I'm taking Ohtani because he's younger. And I got that pitching thing happen. I'm taking Ohtani in a heartbeat. In a heartbeat. I think he's younger than Judge, isn't he? I'm taking him anyhow. It doesn't matter. I'm taking Ohtani. I'm taking the two-way guy. I mean, if I'm starting a franchise, I'm guaranteeing a sellout with him every night. Every night, I'm guaranteeing a sellout with him. Absolutely.
Well, you jumped all over that.
Well, start a franchise, yeah. He would be my guy.
I mean, Judge is doing things right-handed. He's doing it as a right-handed hitter.
That's great. That's wonderful.
He is exactly what everybody right now are trying to do to Vladdy. Don't let Vladdy beat you, and he still beats him.
That's great. That's wonderful.
He still beats him.
I'm happy for him.
Look at all the people that are around Ohtani. He is not going to sell tickets like Ohtani is.
I mean,
it's not about selling tickets.
Oh, okay.
It's about the team. Yeah. That's what I'm asking. I'm not saying you're wrong, but you are quick. I am right. Who needs less help? There's my question. Who am I picking that needs less help around them?
Oh, I don't think Ohtani needs any help because he's going to win 15 games for me as a starting pitcher, too. Well, he's going to hit 40 home runs and win 15 games. I'm fine with that.
Wins didn't matter.
Well, I'm just throwing wins out as an example.
Doesn't matter.
For a hitter, it does. Wins matter if you're a hitter.
Does?
You're damn right. Think about what I just said.
I have no idea what you just said.
590-590 is the text line, 416-413-395. Well, we are kind of having fun with all the kids, the energy is good.
The first time George Springer runs through the dugout.
It's better
when Kirky does it. I almost fell out of my chair when I saw Kirky doing that. Like, that is.
I mean, we got it.
That's must watch TV.
I think it's about time for you to apologize to Alejandro Kirk.
Yeah, the whopping five homers. I'll get in line for that, Jeff. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
He looks better. He's happier. He's lighter. He's quicker. You said he's quicker.
I'm not disagreeing with you. And I also will say this, that he is my starting catcher next year. Last 21 games. As a starter, 320, 17 RBIs with an OPS 891. The OPS, we were rolling into the season, and I think a plethora of people were saying, give us an 800 OPS. Do you think this Kirk, an entire season from day one, can give the Blue Jays an 800 OPS?
No.
I'm with you. I don't think he has to. I'm in this camp. I don't care. He doesn't have to.
Thank you. I was
hit the 320 with the 17 RBIs. I could care less what your OPS is, as long as they do what I just said earlier.
Yeah.
Bring in one of them two dudes and then fill in the blanks with one of them other guys who knows how to hit 350 with runners in scoring position.
I will happily have Alejandro Kirk on my team as my number one with an asterisk catcher. I still want another guy around. A veteran guy to spell him
off. The Yankees are in first place. The American League East got two dudes in their lineup. Two dudes.
Yeah.
Two. Not the two dudes are the best right. But again,
neither of them are prime example of what it takes. Neither of them are as good as Ohtani, but they're pretty good. We're gonna take a break. Let our friends in the TV side do some business. Let our folks in the radio side do some business as well. It is Blue Jays talk. The Jays won 4-1. We've hardly even talked about the game, it seems like, because everybody wants to trade.
He's disgusting. Like, they want nothing to do with Bo Bichette.
We'll take a break and be back on the other side. It's Blue Jays talk on Sportsnet and Sportsnet TV. All right, the tarp is on the field in Boston. Of course it's on the field in Boston. 2024. Baby! Still 7 o'clock first pitch or whatever the hell time it is. First pitch scheduled for 7, I think.
You're supposed to know everything. Tell the people what they need to know.
I told you. Turn on the radio or TV at 7 o'clock. There'll be baseball. Actually, turn on the TV. You know what?
Right now.
Yeah, turn it on right now.
You'll see us.
And then you got Blue Jays talk too. And 7 o'clock, 7:07, 7:05, 7:10. Whatever. There'll be baseball when it stops raining in Boston.
Yeah.
The Blue Jays winning 4-1.
You yell at kids around your house.
I don't have any kids to yell at. The resumption of a game that was canceled on June 26th. Yeah. All sorts of history being made. Congratulations to Danny Jansen, the first player to appear for two different teams.
Think
in the
Danny
same
cares?
Game. Not a chance. I'm sure Danny got a lot of fun out of it. Although I will say this, when John Schneider talks about weird stuff happening to Danny, usually it involves a pitch, right? A pitch hitting him someplace.
Yeah. Well, that's somebody not giving him stuff to wear so he don't get hit in the hand or the elbow or the forearm.
No, it's not rocket science.
You stand closer. You're going to need protect stuff.
It's always nice.
They're throwers, not pitchers anymore.
Hazel May reported that the Baseball Hall of Fame has already got him to authenticate some stuff. So that's good. I mean, It's good. Danny's the type of guy that's going to have fun with it.
Danny's the greatest.
And
we love Danny.
Yeah, boil. Boy, there isn't a day goes by where we don't. I don't say to myself, I kind of miss having Danny Jansen around.
He came on when I wasn't here, so.
Mm. Yeah. Well, I know. But that,
that's what I mean. Telling me something.
Ian Brown covers the Red Sox for MLB.com. He joins us on Blue Jays Talk. Hey, Ian, thanks for doing this, man. So make it stop raining, will you?
Please.
Hey, it already did. The tarp's off the field.
There you go. Thank you. Thank you. Well done.
Hour and 40 minutes away from the second first pitch of the day.
Oh, well done, my friend. I knew I could count. I knew I could count on you.
Yeah, we blame you. Good job.
No, that's
awesome.
That's a real good job. hey, you know what? We talked a little bit, looking at the Jays schedule and how, the Jays have kind of had a run of easy games. And now, they're getting into playing some teams that are in playoff contention, and the Jays are hoping to get a look at some of their young guys and see how they react. Like John Schneider said, checking off a lot of boxes, first game in Fenway Park, things of that nature. I was looking at the Red Sox schedule. This might set up nicely for the Red Sox, isn't it? Because it looks like, just at first glance, that's not the most difficult schedule in the history of Major League Baseball, is it? And I was surprised, but it's not.
That's funny. I actually just wrote about this morning, because the Red Sox have just gone through a murderous schedule since the All-Star break, where they played the Dodgers, the Yankees, the Orioles, the Astros for six games, and the Diamondbacks, who are just red hot this weekend. And they got through that. They played not that great, but they came in. They came in today 4.5 back. Now it gets easier. Now they have this 5 games against the Blue Jays. They get 3 in Detroit. They have 3 against the Mets, and then 3 against the White Sox. So these next 2 weeks are really a chance for the Red Sox to kind of make some hay. But these games can be kind of the toughest ones sometimes, because the Blue Jays come in feeling no pressure. Mm-hmm. The Red Sox have a young team. They're counting a lot on young players who are feeling a lot of pressure. And they got manhandled by the D-backs over the weekend. And they came in today, and I think they just seemed a little tight and anxious. And it was the first time all year, really, after a game, Alex Cora was kind of admitting that they just didn't have it offensively. They just don't have it offensively right now. And he said, maybe the young guys have never been in this situation before. Maybe they're feeling the weight of it. He said they just kind of have to stay in the moment. So I wouldn't be surprised if he kind of gathers them between games today and just kind of reminds them that, not to put so much pressure on themselves. So baseball's a tricky game mentally sometimes, as you guys know.
Ian, you have any idea when the Red Sox are all in? Signed your manager. Are they all in sooner than later?
Are they all in for building a championship team?
Absolutely. It's the Red Sox. Like, are they up for spending tons of money, going out and get free agents, going for it, that kind of thing?
That's what everybody wants to know. The fans of this team have been very frustrated the last two, three winters, really dating back to COVID, I think, where they just haven't spent a lot of money, haven't gotten really for some glamorous players. They obviously made the huge investment in Rafael Devers to keep him around for the next decade or so. But, aside from that, the fans around here, they want to know that ownership is committed, because they are one of the teams that have the resources to go out and get guys. So, whether it's this year or next year, they will start spending it again. They have 3 top prospects who are probably all going to reach the major leagues next year, if not at the beginning of the season, maybe by midseason. Marcelo Meyer, Roman Anthony, and Kyle Teal. You got a shortstop, a center fielder, and a catcher there. So maybe that's the middle for your future. So they really want to build around those guys, with guys like Devers and Casas. But anybody who's watched this team this year, despite the hitting has gone dry lately, this team needs more pitching, right? This team needs more in the rotation and in the bullpen. You've got Tanner Houck is the ace right now. He's not an ace. He did a good job acting like one for half a season, but now he's come back to earth. And now there's just nobody on that pitching staff who just kind of has that mentality, like, I'm the guy. They'll have Lucas Giolito back next year. That will help. But they need to go out and get some more pitching. And the Chris Sale trade doesn't look so good right now. You can see what they were thinking at the time when they made it. He had such bad injury luck in Boston, and they were trying to cut some payroll, but that trade has blown up in their face. And that's the guy they traded for him. He was supposed to be their everyday second baseman, Von Grissom. He's now in the minor leagues. That trade is one thing that really hurt them. But I think this winter they need to upgrade the pitching staff if they want to be serious contenders next year.
Ian, I know you've covered this team for a while. Is this the deepest minor league system the Red Sox have had in some time? Because you talk to people around the game, and they'll tell you that other than, you know this, other than, you know, the Orioles minor league system is really good. But in the AL East, you know, the Red Sox minor league system is really highly touted as well. They might be the best positioned team to take a run at the Orioles over the next 3 or 4 years compared to other teams.
Yeah, you know what's funny is that Heim Bloom, you know, took a lot of heat when he was here, and justifiably so for some of his moves. But the one thing this guy did was he stocked that farm system. They had good drafts throughout his time here. And, yeah, I think they do have a very good farm system. Now, the most interesting thing about it to me is their farm system is packed with hitters, not so much on the pitching standpoint. So I think maybe they need to trade some of those hitting prospects for some pitching prospects. You know, if they find a team that might be in the opposite, you know, maybe some other team is heavy on pitching and light on hitting, and that would be a team the Red Sox could make a trade for. Just balance it out a little bit. But, yeah, from position players standpoint, I mean, they're pretty stocked right now. And yeah, this is the best it's been, I say, since like the mid 2010s, when guys like Mookie and Bogarts and Jackie Bradley Jr. and Benintendi, guys like that were coming up. This is definitely the best the farm system has been since then, because Ben Sherrington was another guy who knew how to build a farm system, kind of like Heim Bloom, and Breslow is of that mind too, so it's not going to get any worse while he's here.
Ian, you're around Jaron Duran a bunch and the organization. Do you feel, or do you think they feel, that this Duran is the one they're going to see going forward now on?
Yeah, I mean, there's no reason to really think he isn't, because this guy, people forget, he was having a really good year last year, and then he jumped up against the wall at Yankee Stadium and suffered a broken foot there, and missed the last 6 weeks of the season. But he was kind of on his way, and this year he's been a lot more consistent. And he's posted every game except for the two games for the very unfortunate suspension for his ill-timed, ill-thought-out remarks to that fan. But this guy has been in the lineup every day and has just been there for this team offensively, on the bases, defensively. He was the only one who really got a big hit in today's game. I think that they do think this is the real Jaron Duran. It's going to be interesting to see what they do with him contract-wise. He still has a few more years, you know, before he can become a free agent. So they could just go year to year, but he could, he's 28 years old. So I don't know if they want to sign him to a super long-term deal. You know, these guys who rely on their legs, they can start to wear down kind of early to mid-30s. So I think they'll just play year by year. They have a great leadoff man for at least the next 3 years or so.
Yep.
Ian, really good of you to awesome. Do this, man. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Ian.
Be well, Ian.
All right, great. Great talking to you guys. We'll see you in Toronto.
Yeah, absolutely. Ian Brown of MLB.com. He's covered the Red Sox for a long time. Seen a lot of really good baseball. I really do believe that, you know, we focus a lot on the Orioles, obviously, and it's hard not to, given their minor league system. But, boy, keep an eye on the Red Sox, because if they can add some pitching.
Yeah. Well, it's going to cost them. Are they willing to spend money? That's the question, right?
It's the most athletic group of players the Red Sox have had. Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to think of another time where they've had as many young athletic players, and I mean, I just can't. And, that's why I think that if you're the Blue Jays, yeah, the Orioles are going to be a going concern. But
East is going to be a handful.
Yeah.
That's what you say.
The Jays lineup for the second game is out. And if you just joined us, Ian Brown of MLB.com telling us that the tarp is off the field.
Nice.
So it looks like we're going to get the second game in the Jays lineup. George Springer leading off at DH. Joey Loperfido in center field. Vladdy is back at first base. Remember how I used to make mistakes and say Vladdy was at third base?
Yeah.
I knew what I was talking about. Anyhow, he's back at first base. Every now and then I'd... You know, like the starting shortstop mistake I made earlier, every now and then I would do the...
Because you were reading it too fast.
I was reading it too
slow
fast.
Down.
Vladdy's at first base. I got to slow it down.
You do.
Like George Springer says.
Enjoy it. Have fun. Absolutely.
Have fun.
Yeah, yeah.
Do a little bit of this when you do get it after. Right, run up and down.
After you get it done, right. Then you do it. Not
Alejandro
before.
Kirk is behind not the plate. Dear. Addison Barger, he's at third base. Ernie Clement is the shortstop. David Schneider's in the left. Leo Jimenez at second base. Stuart Baroa in right. Jose Barrios for the Blue Jays. Brandon Isert has been appointed from AAA Buffalo as the 27th man for the second game of the series. So congratulations to Brandon Isert. He gets an award for being appointed. 416-413-3959. We call it the back leg line. It's your opportunity to leave us a voice note. Mm-hmm. If we like it, we play it. If we don't like it, well, again, it's up to you to make us like it.
We really have nothing to do with it.
Yeah.
Really.
No, I mean, we just...
We do. You just read it?
I just read it. It's our staff. Well, yeah, it's our crack technical staff that puts it together. I just read it. I do.
What's wrong with you?
I do. No, our support staff.
Yeah, they do a they're fine the best.
Job.
Yeah,
absolutely. Joe, Tom, they all
do
a
great
job.
Yeah.
Leopold in PEI.
Nice.
Just curious on who you guys think would be the fourth and fifth starter for the Jays next year. Do you think Bowden Francis makes the team?
I think he's going to have to. I think they got so much heavy lifting to do.
Yep.
That I think he'll have to. I think that
Yariel Rodriguez
absolutely,
is there.
Well, he's going to be one because they gave him the 3 or 4 year deal. I think that's a big. That'll make you or force you into it. He's got good stuff too. I think that'll help. Right.
I'm gonna say that I don't think both the fourth and fifth starter are here right now.
Yeah, I think with what Bloss is doing too in the minor leagues, I think he's going to have an opportunity.
He'll have an opportunity, yeah. And then again, they're going to have to move some pieces around.
No,
so
it's not here yet. Beginning of the season, it's probably here already. I mean, that's something you can make adjustments with and go out and get and do those kind of things and tweak here and there.
I mean, I will say this about Bowden Francis. Like, he's a horse. Like, he's a big dude. And
yeah, I don't know what you mean.
No, I wonder.
He's a big dude who throws 93. You got to remember that too.
Yeah.
I think it's the what he throws now, right? The when your curveballs, you eliminate the curveball and you do it in a hurry because you see around. Jeff said this to you when you got an opportunity that you can, sort of walk through that door and take advantage of it, and you have to do it because one of your pitches is not working. And you can eliminate that. That's exactly what you do. So fastball command has been much better. He's very aggressive. Now, he oops and fell on some really bad teams he's been facing, but that's not his fault. You go out there and you dominate them, and you throw more split fingers. The slider's been good. So
let me
the next couple of three starts, that's going to tell you what y'all you need to know about.
You know what I want to ask you about this. Now, you heard the Taylor Ward comments after the game.
That's fine.
I didn't think he was unhittable. It was nothing special, really.
I mean,
you watched that game. What did you make of it? I mean, the Angels are a lousy team.
He's probably right. Even Bowden said the same thing. I'm not going to stuff you to death. I got to locate. Yeah. I got to be unpredictable. I mean, he throws his breaking ball. It's rare that he throws it after strike one.
But, you made an interesting point, too, because everybody got worked up about, he's not giving Bowden Francis credit. I looked at it another way. I'm saying, if I'm one of his teammates, you basically said that we're all poo and great.
Sometimes the truth hurts, but you get a little drinking on that plane and
yeah.
I'm bigger than you and I don't care.
Anyhow, good on Chris Bassett for doing the whole holding the sign up behind.
It's
good fun.
It's
good fun.
It's like stooping down, I guess.
That's good fun. 15 innings, 2 hits, 20 Ks, hittable and not special. I thought it was.
Oh, good. That's what you were doing. You were writing it down when he was holding it up.
Yeah. The hell! Thanks for reading my story today. They actually let me cover it. They actually let me write a baseball game.
Was it good?
Nah, it was not one of my better efforts.
It was about that.
No, it was just I made a mistake. I sent it to the wrong desk. So like I'm on the GO train going home. And I'm going, what the hell? Where's my story? I sent it in an hour earlier.
Bowden said this, when you don't have a routine and you're all over the map, things happen that you don't want to happen.
That's right.
That's what happened.
I was guilty of poor location with the story.
Stay hot.
Diane from BC.
I watch the Jays, and I'm watching you guys right now, and they need to leave Vladdy on third. He's happy there. He bats when he's there.
Oh, he's been bad.
Fantastic, and they will sign him.
Whoa.
They will sign
him. Optimism. I'm okay with, I was the guy when John Schneider started doing this, I think he said on Twitter, why is Vladdy at third base? This is stupid. You know what? I get back to this. He's happy with it. He's willing to do it. The pitchers don't seem to have an issue with it. Dude is raking. And
he ain't raking because he's playing third.
No, but I'm saying there's at this
that has
point.
Has nothing to do with it.
No, but what I'm saying is he's not raking. In other words, he's not going to third base and he's hangdog and I can't believe they're doing this to me and da-da-da.
Maybe they got a little handshake. You play a little third, you look good. We're all in now. You do. You're taking a solid for the organization.
Yeah.
Look, if I'm his agent and I'm Vladdy and I haven't played third in quite some time and I know where I'm at in my career, I think the doing the solids is over.
Well, this is,
let's be honest. Like the years that you've been here and you've posted and the things you're doing offensively now that quite frankly, you know, that the organization didn't take care of in the offseason, and now you're basically the reason why people want to watch.
I want to get to this call. Paul in Ajax. He's a big fan of the show.
Is
he? Oh yeah.
Your head checked, because if you think Kirk is the number one catcher, he better come into camp next year 30 pounds lighter. Minimum. He's a backup catcher at best.
Who cares? You guys
got to learn baseball.
Hey, Thanks, Paul.
Paul, I played a long time, and I don't care. I'm in that camp. I don't care. But Kirk is really good defensively. The pitchers love throwing to him. Yeah. You bring in two thumpers, one through first taken care of. Who cares who catches? How about that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Got pitch calm, push the button, catch the ball.
And he's very good at setting up and stealing strikes, and
as long as
the relationship between him and the umpire.
As long as he's not in the middle of the order, and as long as I don't have my number five
about the catcher.
As long as I don't have my number five hitter hitting into double plays with Kirk, I'm fine. He can hit wherever and play good defense. You know,
take a little offense to that. You need to learn baseball, Paul.
Paul's played a lot of baseball, Paul. Well, you know,
I mean,
I just wanted to play that because it's the first time anybody's accused me of being easy on Kirky. Even my mom gets on me.
My sister gets on me.
My mom likes his little feet and the way he runs. So she gets mad at me.
I hope he hits 15 more home runs. This from Kirky is hands down must watch.
Bernie from Grand Prairie, Alberta.
But I ain't got no money.
I'm wondering, when are you going to get rid of Romano and just have Chad Green there forever?
Hopefully never.
Chad Green's been good.
He's okay.
You want a playoff series with Chad Green as your closer?
No.
Like, I think that's the question, and you got to be realistic about that.
Your closer.
Forget about what it's looking like now.
Exactly. Are you going to win with Jordan Romano as your closer?
No.
Okay.
I've been saying that forever. I'm okay with having both of those in your pen.
Absolutely.
And you're matching them up the right way.
Absolutely.
Chad Green or either one of those against a tough left-handed hitter, or I can't pocket my closer.
No, that's
you can't do that. Like, you don't want to do that. Like, you want the guy to be a no-brainer. I'm okay with whatever Chad's doing in the seventh and eighth inning, and
as long as it's not the ninth.
There you go. It's okay to. He's a really good pitcher.
Yeah. But I'm not saying that you have a tough run of games and maybe you need somebody to close in the ninth once in a while. But no, I don't want Chad Green to be my closer on an everyday basis.
No.
I just don't. And Jordan Romano, let's see how he comes back from this injury.
He's been gone a long time.
Yeah. Let's see how he comes back from the injury. You know, this may be one of those things. This may get back to what we were talking about. It's like you've got a to-do list of 10 things here.
Two thumpers and a closer would be a good start.
Yeah, but where does that go?
Two thumpers and a closer go a long way.
No, but I'm saying
playoffs.
What is you're
that's
what
that go.
You're going. You're not going to sign all the. Those aren't all going to come by free agents. You're going to have to make a big trade this offseason. And if you're the Blue Jays, you've got to prioritize where do you put your resources? I think it's more important you get the thumpers and then try to make the bullpen work. That's just me. But
again, today is a prime example. The Red Sox is a good team, right? Your pen was awesome. You hit a home run. And your best player got a big hit when they needed to get a big hit. Like, that's called winning baseball.
Genesis Cabrera hit 98 today.
How about that? He's, you know, if he tries not to embarrass you all the time and just, you know, set up a good lane, don't nibble, don't try and be fine with it, attack it because you got great stuff. Don't try and embarrass somebody because he's got a little swag, right?
He wants to get on that mound and he basically wants
to try to embarrass you. But when he tries to do that, that's when he gets in trouble. He'll walk a guy, he'll give up a blue pit, then that's when he gets in trouble. He hasn't been doing that lately, right? It's attack. You know, the secondary stuff's been really good, and that fastball, man, that thing coming out hot.
Yeah.
He's coming at you, right? It's knees and elbows. How would you like it? I mean, he's the lefty now.
Oh,
he's it.
Absolutely.
when you need an out against a tough lefty, like Devers, him. Yeah. When it matters, I'm trying to win a game, he's coming in. It ain't little.
Sean from Toronto. We got a lot of calls. Sean from Toronto.
I'm wondering what you think the odds are of the Blue Jays signing Juan Soto in the off. And if so, for how much? And if he can't come to the Jays and he goes somewhere else, what do you think he's going to end up getting? Have a good one, guys.
Thank you.
$600 million.
$600 million.
It would take more than that to come here.
Yeah. Do I think the Jays will talk to Scott Boras about him? Absolutely.
Well, there's a reason why Heyman said that, because Heyman's, you know, yeah, absolutely.
But I, no, and
trying to run up to 25-1. Here's my five teams. Here's where I want you to talk about that kind of thing, right?
Yeah, I mean, you know how the Blue Jays. Of course, they're going to make a call. I mean, you've got to make a call on it. Where does he end up?
It's the two New York teams.
I think I'm with you. If I'm him, I might take less money to stay with the Yankees because I got big boy in front of me. But
you're like, taking less money, Jeff.
Well, I mean, what I'm saying is that if 550 instead of 600 to stay with the Yankees, I might consider it.
Yeah.
I might consider it. But that's fair. I think you're right. There are two teams that'll, you know, there's a team out there that I just think.
Nationals.
Hmm?
The Nationals.
No, he used to be with the Nationals. So, there's a team out there that I think is going to really do something outrageous this offseason. I think it's Seattle. I've told you. I think Seattle. Seattle is going to be very, very. Now let's see if Jerry DePoto, if the GM gets fired, then maybe that's a little different. But I see them as being aggressive. And I'll tell you another team I would not rule out is Houston, because they're going to have a little bit of money to play with. It's Texas. There's no state income tax.
Yeah.
You know, you
Bregman, you signed Tucker.
Well, Bregman's going to – no, you don't even have to bring Bregman
back. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Like, you don't bring him back. You don't re-sign Tucker like you know. I mean, Tucker'd probably be cheaper. Tucker's pretty good, too. So, they're like, they got good options. Like, it's a winning pedigree there, I think. They figured something out.
Odd question for you.
Do
you think more teams will be in on Juan Soto than we're in on Shohei Ohtani?
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is the price.
And also because I think that people just kind of looked at Shohei Ohtani. At no point did anybody say Shohei Ohtani was going to go to Pittsburgh.
I think it's the five. Yeah. I think five teams is right. Heyman was right.
I think it's – yeah,
I think the four. I think it's the four, and then the Blue Jays are
but I
– How do you not sign Vladdy and then go out and drop 600 large on Soto? Like
that's a great point. I mean,
yeah, except Vladdy's wearing it going to third. But really?
No, because if I'm Juan Soto,
man,
what's the first question I'm going to have?
Yeah, where's the best place to live?
No. I mean, if I'm talking to the Blue Jays, first question I'm going to have is, what are you going to do with the other guy?
Yeah, that's not what the
first
question
is. Yeah, I think
you
got to remember about Juan Soto. He's a free agent. He's already made a lot of money. He's got another free agent contract coming up after this one, probably, because he's young.
Unless this is a 10 or 13 year deal. Yeah, I'm with you. I think the Giants are going to have a serious run at it, too.
You know who'd be a sick team to go after him is the Phillies.
The Phillies don't need him.
Yeah.
The Phillies don't need him. They can piece it all together at the same time. They're winning the World Series.
I think the two New York teams, though. I agree with you. And then maybe a team like Houston.
I just wonder why you'd want to go to the Mets. Mets to me seem like they're far away. Maybe they're not. Maybe I'm just.
I mean, the Mets make a
serious run at it. I don't know. I would think you not only want that, but you want to go to a team that's got a chance of winning a World Series. The Mets too far away.
I kind of like if I'm staying in New York and unless I'm making a big pile of money more, I'm probably staying with the Yankees over the Mets.
Mm.
I don't trust the Mets. I mean, I just don't trust the Mets. They haven't shown me that they can get out of their own way. And how are you going to sign with the Mets if they let
one year? They were all in for 1 year, then they backed it up because it didn't work out. Now they're one unit, Jeff. They're all pulling in the same direction now.
They're happy running up and down the dugout.
They're happy because they're hitting as they were. And Lindor's finally doing something. It is amazing how your best player is being your best player, how much fun it looks. No? Boy, it's amazing, isn't it?
Yes, it is. 4-1, the Blue Jays.
Paul got me fired up.
Paul did.
How about it?
Paul and Ajax. Well,
how
done,
about
Paul
that, Paul? Way to go, buddy.
Paul and Ajax. Don't ever.
You guys, I don't know what you guys are smoking.
Nothing gets Barker fired yeah, up more than someone saying that
if
he.
You don't know baseball.
Don't know anything about baseball. 4-1, the Blue Jays
that,
beat
Paul.
The Boston Red Sox in the resumption of a game that was played on, started on June 26th. The regularly scheduled game tonight goes in a little more than an hour. The tarp is off the field. Jose Berríos will be starting for the Blue Jays. Barker and Blair will be doing Blue Jays talk following the game. We'll be back tomorrow from 4 to 6 Eastern with our regularly scheduled Blair and Barker. There you go. Thank you for listening to Blue Jays Baseball, brought to you by the local family-owned Crown Rust Control Centers in Hanwell and Woodstock, New Brunswick. Protect your vehicle from rust today. Find your local family-owned Crown at crown.com. Canada's number one rust protection.